The title of the story is The Longest Summer. The cool winds of March brushed Rosaline's hair. Gazing into the sky, she was counting stars, knowing fully well it's useless thing to do. But it kept her mind off the things that haunt her. It was her way of not letting her ponder over petty things on her way back home. On reaching home, she tiptoed to her room as she didn't want to disturb her father while watching his favorite show. Successfully entering her room, she spread on the bed as cautiously as possible, because the springs might creak and that could create disturbance. Her elder sister Rubina was in the kitchen preparing dinner, while her younger brother Jack was with his father Mr. Wilson watching an adult show at the age of 12. Rubina and she slept in the same room on the single mattress clustered together, while the father-son duo slept together. Not that they were poor, but Mr. Wilson didn't like his girls living their life with ease. Rubina tended to the house, Rosaline worked at a nearby restaurant, while Mr. Wilson sat on the fortune he inherited from their dead mother. Jack was their stepbrother, whose mother ran away with their lover. Calling Jack and Mr. Wilson the duo now onwards is more practical and necessary, as the father, a drunkard, loved his boy while treated his girls as shit. The same behavior was being inculcated in the son. For him, he was a superior one and could command her sisters. Rosaline was an introvert, reserved and sweet-natured person. For her, being nice meant other people would be nice to you, as her mother had taught her. Something that was constantly denied by Mr. Wilson. Her faith in her mother's teaching was fading away. It became hard to hold on to the memories as the dark ones kept building up. At the restaurant, there were new recruits as it was being expanded. Peter, in his mid-20s, was one of them. With his entrancing blue eyes, bit plump cheeks yet defined jawline, he was well-built and wore his white bow on a crisp shirt and the apron tied at the back. He was mesmerized with Rosaline's exotic features, her almond-shaped brown eyes and dusky color. She was a slender, curvy girl with wavy hair. After 3 months of relationship as colleagues, they had become good friends. Finally, he mustered the courage to ask her out. She wanted to say yes, but all she could think of was that he didn't know anything about her, apart from the fact that she worked there. She thought it would be best to say no. As she opened her mouth, word that came out was yes. Both were equivalently surprised. Both were equivalently happy, but only one was worried. The next day was same as usual, the only difference being that she was happy after a long time and that she had flowers on her way back home. She was tiptoeing to her room when the TV switched off and his father turned towards the clock and then to her. He arose from his chair to face her, his eyes piercing. "Where were you?" he demanded. She shivered, unable to answer, still looking at the floor, pigeon-toed, unable to foresee the slap. She fell on the floor. His belt was out now as he demanded again, "Where were you?" He noticed the flowers that had fallen from the bag. First whip. "What is it? Who gave it to you?" She was white with fear, but couldn't lose one good thing in her life and replied, "It was 10th anniversary of the restaurant, so they gave us flowers on return." His anger subsided, but now that smirk appeared. It had been days he hadn't belted her. He was sadist with his fetishes. After 15 whips, she picked herself up and went to her room, while her sister ran to tend to her wounds. She didn't have the courage to go to work, but she didn't dare to stay with Mr. Wilson. She met Peter at work, who, as usual, came up to hug her. She winced. He let her go and with concerned look asked her what happened. She lied, "I fell on my back." He held her hand and pulled her close and asked again. She couldn't take it anymore. Her last ounce of courage and self-respect was crushed yesterday. She burst into tears and told everything. He was angry but felt empathy towards her. He wanted to change so much, wanted to heal her wounds. That was the first time they kissed, the first time she ever kissed. She never had felt the sensation. How the lips could feel everything, the touch, the warmth, the softness, every fold of tongue exploding 1,000 sensations. She felt no pain. all she felt was anger, care, love, helplessness of his. Love does not only create memory. The first thing it creates is hope. She had hoped to spend her life with this person, hoped to get out of that hellhole. She went home in pain, but with a smile, a newfound strength. About 3 months had passed since the incident. She was happy. She loved going to work. It was her escape route. She didn't fear her father anymore, but thought best would be not to have unnecessary encounters. After about 10 years, she was enjoying a little. One day, while returning home, Peter asked her to stay the weekend with him. "You know, I can't. What would I tell him?" "You can come up with some work. It would certainly be better to stay with me." She didn't know how to execute it, but she liked the idea. That day, she told her sister everything. Her sister urged her to go, assuring that she would manage everything at home. She spent her weekend with Peter in a cozy cottage at the beach. After a long day, they returned to the cottage. He pulled her closer and kissed her, his lips grazing down her neck over the shoulders. His hands grazed her belly button, pulling the shirt up when she held his hand and said, "Stop." He retreated quickly and said sorry. She kissed his forehead and said, "You don't have to be sorry. I just don't think you would like what's underneath." He slowly pulled her shirt up and felt remorse at what he saw. There were cigarette burns on her chest, belly, a few wet arms that she kept covered. Her back had scars of belting over the time. He kissed her passionately and then kissed every scar. For him, she was and would always be the most beautiful. When he woke up the next day, she was sleeping beside him, looking so serene. He grazed her lips, brushed her hairs with his fingers when she woke up. He pulled her close and said, "I want you each and every day beside me like this, this peaceful. Come with me. My cousin is opening a restaurant in the state. He asked me to join him. You could work there too. Please come." She wanted to. She wanted all the happiness she deserved, but she couldn't leave her sister like that. "I can't, Peter. I can't just leave my sister at that hellhole." "We could take her. We'll find a job for her as well. You both don't deserve it. Just promise me you would at least think of it," he said, kissing her hand. After her work at the restaurant, when she reached home, the duo was absent, and Rubina was nowhere to be seen. It was very unsettling without the TV's noise and the horrid laughter mixed with sneaky comments. She searched the whole house, but she couldn't find Rubina. As she unlocked the washroom, there she was on the ground. Rosaline picked her sister up with her support and took her to the bed. She was high with fever. Rosaline called Peter and they took her to the hospital. 2 days earlier, when Rosaline didn't come even after 2 hours of her daily routine, Mr. Wilson asked Rubina for her whereabouts. Rubina told that the restaurant had some catering work for which Rosaline had to go out of station for the weekend. In response to this, she was met with severe thrashing. The next day, while Rubina was in fever, the duo left for somewhere hurriedly after receiving a phone call. The first day, Rubina somehow managed to tend to herself, but unable to the other day, and fainted in the washroom. After a day in the hospital, Rosaline took her home. The duo was still absent. And for Rosaline, this was the best time to escape. She told Rubina everything and they decided to leave after packing their essential. After an hour, they were ready to leave when they heard the car approaching. They thought it was Peter to pick them up, but as they opened the gate, it was the duo, and Mr. Wilson was dragging a woman in her mid-40s by hair. The bags fell off their hands and they thought they were next. But Mr. Wilson was so busy with his commotion that he didn't notice the bags. Rubina, seeing the opportunity, pushed the bag aside. Outside, they could see Peter returning. He knew they needed to plan it some other day. The woman looked familiar, but with all the blood and swelling around, it wasn't easy to identify. After a few minutes, Rosaline recognized it was Sabrina, Jack's mother. Sabrina was tied in the basement. Mr. Wilson watched the TV while Jack would go down sometime just to kick her. Whenever she would plead that she was his mother, he would just hit her more. Mr. Wilson tapped to the rhythms of the scream. Rosaline always thought of his father as a lowlife, but she never imagined he could do such a thing. After 10 years of her running away, he had nabbed her only to hurt her. Rosaline, for the first time, was very afraid of Mr. Wilson. She hasn't been this afraid even when he burned her with cigarettes. Even after 10 years, the feeling to avenge had not faded. For 10 years, he had been trying to track her only to mistreat her again. He won't let Rosaline go. He wouldn't stop. He would find her and then would not only punish her and her sister, but Peter as well. She couldn't drag Peter in all this. This was her mess, a mess that she needed to deal with. She didn't go to work for a couple of weeks as Mr. Wilson didn't let her. The constant intermittent screams of Sabrina was too much to take in. No matter how much she covered her ears, the wails pierced her like knife. Rubina wanted to help Sabrina escape. One night when everyone fell asleep, she went down the basement. As she was untying her, she felt a shadow fall on her. Mr. Wilson was standing on the doorstep. To her relief, he didn't hit her, but locked her in the basement with Sabrina. Sabrina was sweaty and dehydrated. Her body was full of belt marks. She untied her, fetched a cloth and wiped the blood off her forehead. The tumbler was deliberately kept beyond the reach of Sabrina. Rosaline quenched her thirst. After about an hour, Rosaline heard footsteps. She quickly moved away from Sabrina. Mr. Wilson rarely came downstairs, but whenever he came, the screams were different, as if he wasn't hurting her body, but her soul. Today, Rosaline knew why. He raped her. But today she didn't scream. Rather, she looked dead. When Mr. Wilson went out, Rosaline poked Sabrina. She was too still. Then she checked if she was breathing. She was not. Rosaline pushed herself back. She was horrified and shocked and panicky. She didn't know what to do. Should she tell them? She screamed for Mr. Wilson. After about 15 minutes, he came down, and from the door, he threatened her to keep quiet or he would kill her. Rosaline curled up in a corner, staring at the dead body of Sabrina. Sabrina looked at her, her haunting eyes searching for salvation. Rosaline trembled, but managed to close Sabrina's eyes. She didn't realize when she fell asleep, and the whole commotion started. There were screams from above, and then a gunshot, preceded by two more. Someone was coming downstairs. He had a gun in his hand. Rosaline was still curled up in the corner. She wasn't visible, but she could see his every movement. He came near Sabrina, wretched at what he saw. He held her and hollered. He held her closer and kissed her when he saw Rosaline. Angered now, he picked up his gun. Rosaline was white, her eyes wide. But to her shock, he put the nozzle on his neck and pulled the trigger. The blood splattered all over, some on Rosaline. She sat there still for a very long time. Police sirens were blaring outside. When the sheriff came running inside, the paramedics at the back, someone put a blanket over her and helped her upstairs. She saw Mr. Wilson dead on the sofa, Jack under the coffee table. He must have tried to hide. Rubina lied at the doorstep of their room. She must have come running when she heard the gunshots. She was given a quick checkup outside while she sat in the ambulance. The sheriff asked if she would like to contact anyone. Only one name came up, Peter.